Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios, the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares Sweepstakes. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 54. See rules and enter for free at rocketmortgagesquares.com. Robin Lundberg Show, and today I'm joined by Julie Stewart Binks, who is in the house. And, you know, Super Bowl Squares, are you ready for the Super Bowl, Julie?
I am. I'm actually heading to Super Bowl week on Monday, so I'm pumped to, you know, get the craziness of Radio Row and all the parties and all the pizzazz of what we will see in Miami.
It's a weird question, right? Because of, you know, yeah, I'm ready, but it's like a week away, and it's a weird thing, I guess, in this business, because where's the content coming from in the in-between time, right?
Well, that's why we in the media sometimes end up creating content, because we're just so bored. We're like, okay, let's just ask them any kind of thing. What can we get? What kind of content can we get? Especially at Media Week, at Super Bowl Radio Row, because you're like, all right, we still have 7 days until the big game. And it kind of reminds me when, speaking of a different sport, when Zion Williamson was getting ready for his debut, he's like, I don't know if I can sleep tonight. And so it's just that anticipation, that waiting, and you're ready to run through a wall, and you still got to wait a week, so it kind of sucks.
Yeah, or you could fall asleep on the bench like Zion, and yes, then some of the time might pass. But, you know, it's funny, but one way you can fill the time is by pulling up the sports talk greatest hits, right? You can just put one of those on, and it'll ride out. It's a bit I do here on the show, like some of the tracks, Julie, one, Jordan versus LeBron.
Oh, great.
Yeah, no matter
what. Dip into that for a couple hours.
Where do you side on that, by the way?
Oh, Jordan versus LeBron?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I will take a note from what MJ said yesterday in Paris, that you can't compare two players from different eras.
But we do.
It's like comparing Wayne Gretzky and Sidney Crosby. You can't. It's completely different. There's different players, different teams, just a whole different idea of what you even focus on within the games. And I think it's interesting, as we now see LeBron with a chance to pass Kobe in all-time points, that we aren't even really talking about it that much, because LeBron always seemingly, it's just like he's in the passing lane on the freeway. Like, he's just passing every milestone. Even when he passed MJ last year, when, you know, he put the towel over his head and he was like, I'll have a moment. But LeBron just keeps on impressing us. And I personally don't think we respect and understand the greatness that we're seeing right now. And it's really impressive.
Yeah, I mean, with 35 years old, 17th season, if he continues at the same rate, he'll pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as number one all time in under three seasons. Around the same time, he'll pass Magic Johnson in assists, by the way. So we'll get to that a little bit later. There's other tracks on that album, of course. should PED guys get in the Hall of Fame, which was brought up again. It's like National PED Day.
Yeah, National PED Day, especially baseball. It's just like baseball scandal week, right? It's PEDs within the Hall of Fame. It's the sign stealing. There's just, and it's so fascinating with the sign stealing. So many more things are coming out. With Dallas Keuchel yesterday even addressing the media, like, we weren't the only ones doing this in the playoffs.
Yeah, what is it about baseball culture? I asked this question, like, why is baseball culture so weird and ugly? Like, you know, the proper response to someone admiring their home run is assault. You throw a hard object at them at 90-something miles an hour, and then you got guys cheating all over the place. Like, the baseball culture, if I were to draw it, it would look something like the corner of a dugout, whatever the mixture of tobacco and sunflower seeds and spittle is.
Yeah, because it's such an idyllic sport in the way that it's like America's pastime, and oh, you grow up listening to the game and going and having an amazing time with your parents, and then it's like, no, it's got a dark side. It's a Jekyll and Hyde in a way. And so hearing Paul Aduca even this week saying, hey, listen, like when we were playing the Texas Rangers, like, I noticed the blinking of a red light. And I told, like, our pitcher, you know, throw it behind Ian Kinsler's head. Like, we know that this stuff's going on. So I'm sure that we'll have so much more that's uncovered as we continue to follow this story.
Yeah, because, you know, there's been some players upset about it, and then others are like, tattletale about Mike Fires.
Come on, we're all doing it. Like, don't tell everyone.
So, you know, we could keep going down the track list. I saw Tom Brady earlier. We were talking about him. Who's more responsible for the Patriots' success, Belichick or Brady? Should college athletes be paid? But the newest track on the Sports Talk Radio Greatest Hits album was on the charts this week. Let's put it that way, on the charts this week. And that is Eli Manning and his Hall of Fame status, because Eli Manning retired as a Giant. Mm-hmm. What did he say? He quoted Wellington Marys, once a Giant, always a Giant, but for me, only a Giant.
I love that.
Yeah.
Even as someone who didn't grow up as a Giants fan, I was like, oh, I just love that line so much. And it was, you know, it was such a nice retirement ceremony. I mean, we were joking beforehand that it did feel like he was reading a book report or he was at a graduation ceremony, just the cadence of how he was describing it. But he was such a good person, and I think that was really shown with so many former teammates that showed up, and as well as Daniel Jones being there, and there's just such a positivity around him. But then again, it's then, which helps, I do think, for his Hall of Fame campaign, because when you do look at a guy and he's been a good guy and he's off the field, that helps. But now everyone's like, well, he had these great moments, but the whole longevity of his career was very pedestrian.
Well, you know, and I guess when you're a New York fan or a Giants fan, those moments mean more than just a moment you can dismiss, right? Like, and that's what I find interesting about the Eli conversation, because we spend so much time talking about championships and how a guy needs a championship. You know, LeBron early in his career. You know, where's the ring? And then he goes to Miami, gets a ring. And for Eli, people are just like, oh, well, you know, put aside those two Super Bowls. And it's like, word? You're just gonna dismiss the two Super Bowl MVPs? Because it's kind of a big deal. It's kind of a big deal, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Jets fans, they would, first of all, Jets fans have been looking for a quarterback since man landed on the moon. And then they're also now like, I'll take a Super Bowl. There's so many fan bases would take one Super Bowl, and this guy won two. And people act like he was along the ride for it. He has 15 touchdowns to two picks during those two playoff runs.
And that's the thing. It's not even just that he won these two Super Bowls. He won them against a dynasty. He won them against Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, the Patriots, that have been just so dominant, so difficult to beat. He did it against them not just once, but twice, was the MVP in both of those games. So you mentioned New York City. We look for the big moments. We look for the championships. And that's not just New York. That is everyone in general. But then as soon as we then look at the breadth of his career, okay, you know, 117, you know, very much a normal guy the whole time. He wasn't the most dominant quarterback when he was playing. But then you look at how he transcended history with those moments, his numbers for his career, 16 seasons, 15 and a half of them, he was a starter.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible what he did.
If you just do the blind resume test, this is the stock line I always throw out. He's top 10 all-time, I believe 7th, in both passing yards and passing touchdowns, and a two-time Super Bowl MVP. To me, that's like, okay, yeah, he should be. Because it's not, there's like an inner sanctum of the Hall of Fame where the truly greats go. I mean, it doesn't actually exist. This is an arbitrary thing I'm saying. But, you know, that we put him there in our mind. There's like, they're wearing smoking jackets or something like the SNL Five-Timers Club.
Yes.
You ever seen that? And Eli doesn't belong there. But if Jim Kelly is in the Hall of Fame, why isn't...
Yeah, if Warren Moon's in the Hall of Fame, he's got a losing playoff record as a starter. And 102 and 101, like, he's not the greatest of all time. Like, that's sort of the difference. We're not saying he's the best quarterback that's ever lived, but he is worthy of being in the Hall of Fame. It'll be great once, somewhere down the road, 2025 or whatnot, this whole thing will be put to bed.
You know, but that's what's curious to me, why he's the guy people want to, you know, put a marker in the sand for. Because the standard all of a sudden becomes people's, like, feelings rather than the standard that exists. Because we just named some guys that Eli Manning certainly belongs in the same breath with who are in the Hall of Fame. So why is it Eli in particular where people are going, no, why was he ever the best in the league? He doesn't deserve to be a Hall. That's what I want to get to the bottom of, why it became such a debate.
It is very true, because it's like when you do look at his career, it feels very vanilla. It's just like he was just a guy walking down the street that you'd maybe didn't notice every now and again. And then you're like, oh, he does something crazy. He saves someone from getting hit by a car. You're like, wow, look at him in that moment that he had to be clutch. Okay. Well, then again, he is, you know, he is worthy and deserving of these honors. But then you have people like, you know what? He didn't really get me going every weekend. He was kind of just a guy there. So I think that's the biggest thing. But also, he's just a nice guy. Like, he's kind of easily forgettable in a way. Like,
very aw shucks the way he goes about things. Yeah. But that's you were getting at it. The idea that it's okay, it's my feelings that are going to dictate this rather than the
and we come up with
track
so many arbitrary reasons for what you said. You know, people say, oh, he had a good career, but he never won a title.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's talking out of one side of your mouth. The other side is he had two incredible titles, but not that great of like a regular season. And then again, you do have to bring into the idea that like his team around him for the most part, especially near the end, was brutal.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have any weapons.
Yeah.
Other than OBJ and Plaxico Burress for the most part.
Yeah, and Plaxico Burress shot himself in the leg in the 1 year that they were actually doing real good things on the field. That's a good point too at the end. I think that really skewed people. The recency bias in a sense where they were watching the sorry Giants and Eli looked pretty hapless out there. So they're like, this guy? You're putting this guy in the Hall of Fame? But that's not the entirety of his career. And again, if it were just the two Super Bowl MVPs and he did nothing else, okay, I could see keeping him out. If it were just his career without the Super Bowl MVPs, okay, then, I could justify keeping him out. But when you take the career accomplishments and then you add the two, not a one fluke, not a Flacco, because Flacco is once. Flacco didn't do it twice. Mm-hmm. When you add it in when it happened twice, I just really don't see the argument, but the argument persists. Anytime, any room I'm in, and that question gets thrown out, people start going back and forth.
I will say they do go back and forth, but for the most part, people land on the fact that he should be in the Hall of Fame. Like, even reading a number of different pundits online, they're like, these are the reasons why he might not get into it, but then in the long run, he will end up getting into it. Unless, you know, there's some big names out there that sort of decide to be contrarian. I think in the long run, at least 80% of the things I've read have said yes.
You know, I know all these guys or have worked with them at various points, so I'll just so we're actually using examples. I know Bomani, Stephen A., Adam Schein, right, have all said they don't think he's in the Hall of Fame. Or the people who do say he's going to get in, but I don't think he should.
Right.
That seems to be a take.
Yes, yes.
And I was just in an office yesterday where I had two people yelling back at me, well, he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. So, I mean, it is a real debate for some reason.
You can create your reality and say, oh, yeah, you're right. I guess drinking wine at night is good for me if I do think along these lines. But, I mean, who's to say? Like, we can't really say it.
What's the number of glasses that's good for you? Is it two? I mean, two Super Bowl MVPs?
Yeah. Two glasses of wine is good. It helps decrease your heart disease rate, apparently.
Why has Eli Manning's Hall of Fame status become such a big debate to the point where we could add it to the Sports Talk Greatest Hits album? 855-212-4227. That's CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. 855-212-4227. Sponsored by GEICO, whether you own or rent. GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. I mean, we could say that Eli should be in the Hall of Fame easy, but I promise some of you at 855-212-4227 will disagree. Robin Lundberg joined by Julie Stewart Binks here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
Julie Stewart Binks joining me today. We were talking about this before the show, Julie, but yeah, that's you probably did you not realize that the name Robin would garner the reaction from some people? Like I said, some dudes don't want to call me by that name. My wife's family calls me Rob. When I lived uptown, it was Robbie B. And then some people will call me Robin.
Okay, I don't think this is a you problem. This is all these jerks you have around in your life. Oh, man, I feel bad that people didn't call you Robin. I don't think I've met a lot of Robins in my life. And when I was, you know, putting you on one of my social media feeds, it was like looking through all the Robins I already followed. I was like, there are a lot of dudes. Like, it's 2020. A lot of guys are named Robin right now. But as you mentioned, is a superhero name as well.
Yeah, but he's so lame. I mean, he wears that little black mask raccoon thingy with the green scaly pants. And I mean, if you watch the old Batman joints, he even had to ride on like the outside of the motorcycle.
I mean, he's not the best superhero, but he still is a superhero.
Yeah, but has there ever been a group of kids or adult kids like me who've gotten together and say, we're picking our teams and superheroes and go, I want to be Robin.
No, you're right. That hasn't happened. But people, though, associate Robin with the bird, too, I would imagine.
Which is a lame bird. What kind of bird? It's not like an eagle or a falcon or something.
I want to one up you on that because my last name, one of them, Binks, is associated with one of the worst Star Wars characters of all time, Jar Jar.
Yeah.
Because I was so pumped when episode one came out and I said, oh my God, Jar Jar Binks. And then everyone's like, that really is the worst Star Wars character of all time.
So were you pumped going in hearing about Jar Jar Binks? Were you pumped during the experience? Or when did the pumped be deflated a la Tom Brady?
Binks is not really a very common last name. People think Banks. Everyone calls me Julie Stewart Banks. Or they call me Barks. Or like, I can't even, Blinks. I'm like, come on, it's five letters. It's very easy. So I was excited. And then I was fine with him. I thought he was a cool character. I was like a kid then. Mm-hmm. And realized, no, he wasn't cool. He ruined Star Wars, apparently.
And then they kept ruining it. But, you know, as far as your name, at least you've got a nice, your initials go together nicely. So JSB,
works. It's kind of like GSP. I was like, oh, George St. Pierre, as a Canadian, if you guys know anything about me, I am a Canuck. Tried to get rid of my accent, so I sound more American these days. But the two last names is my dad's last name, Stewart, my mom's last name, Binks. Put them together when I was born to mess with my ability to sign into hotel Wi-Fi.
That's good. Because I didn't give my son a middle name. Because I was like, we couldn't think of one. And I was like, yeah, then that'll be one less thing he has to sign on papers. Just don't give him one.
Yeah, I mean, middle names. Come on.
855-212-4227. Speaking of names, Elijah is one. Eli Manning, we've been talking about him and his Hall of Fame candidacy. And Julie, it must have felt like, you referenced your childhood. It must have felt like a funeral for a lot of people's childhoods this week. If you're a New York sports fan,
oh my gosh,
you see Derek Jeter go into the Hall of Fame and Eli Manning retire in the same week, and that's one of those, man, I'm old.
It was really a strange week.
I'm going to die soon.
If I've learned anything, I mean, it can happen at any moment, so let's just enjoy what we have right now. But I was on air on Tuesday on SNY. We were doing, by the way, another team that has had a big hootenanny right now, the Mets, who are discussing Luis Rojas being named their next manager. We were talking about Derek Jeter, Hall of Fame, and then we're on air and like Eli Manning broke. Like, man, a random week in January, and especially as a New York sports fan, it was like everything happening at once. And it really is, it's nostalgic. You're reminded of all the good times. And so remember, like, you do construct a reality of the positivity. And how you saw Eli in his retirement discussion yesterday, and we joke that he sounded like he was a kid reading a report in school, but he is such a good guy, and you're reminded, like, you know what? He gave me so many good memories. You might say, you know, the naysayers, oh, his career wasn't that spectacular. He wasn't, you know, the biggest name every Sunday, but he was consistent for so many years. You could rely on knowing Eli Manning's going to start in this game, unless you're Ben McAdoo, I guess.
Yeah, well, and Geno Smith, that was probably the moment the Giants became the Jets. But if you're a New York sports fan, Eli has a special place in your heart. I mean, he's the greatest quarterback in New York City history, but when you go national, it immediately turns to whether or not he is worthy of the Hall of Fame. 855-212-4227. Why has that become such a great debate? Let's go to Matt in Jacksonville, Florida. Matt, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Just wanted to remind everybody that it's discounting Eli Manning's Super Bowl wins. The first Super Bowl he won, he defeated the undefeated New England Patriots, the team that was expected to basically wipe the floor with them, that they had absolutely no chance, and here they were going to join the Miami Dolphins with a perfect season, and yet Eli comes in and wins the game. Probably one of the greatest single-season accomplishments, I think, that he had.
I mean, it's one of the greatest single-season accomplishments anybody's, or, you know, mm-hmm, single accomplishments anyone's had, which dovetails with another aspect of this, Julie, where people tend to label him lucky for what went on there.
Yeah, no, you can't say he's lucky in these, especially, you mentioned before, doing it twice against the same team that has this incredible dynasty. You're talking about Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, who we've been discussing as being really the greatest tandem of all time, but then Tom Brady being the greatest of all time. Eli Manning denied them a Super Bowl. Yeah. So Eli Manning didn't just stumble his way to a Super Bowl victory. He was the MVP of these incredible feats that will go down in history as like some of the greatest accomplishments of any quarterback of all time.
Yeah, and that's all basically the Tyree catch, I guess, that people put that in all in one box. And Eli still like evaded all those people to throw the ball down to Tyree. He still saw him down the field. And if we're taking away championships because of one moment of luck, I mean, then every championship, essentially, other than like these dynasties that just crush everybody, you can go to Draymond Green getting suspended, you know, so that the Cavs could come back in 2016. Or how about the Patriots' first tuck rule? You know, like there's
always a moment.
You could then
go through every championship, and as a Toronto Raptors fan, you'd go through and say, oh, well, Kevin Durant wasn't there. Or, oh, Klay Thompson got injured in that final game. Okay, well, these are things that you can debate every championship. It's still a championship.
No doubt. Let's go to Justin in Lynchburg, Virginia. Justin, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, good morning, Robin. How you doing?
Good, man.
Hey, love your show. First time caller.
Say hello to Julie as well today, Justin.
Hey, good morning, Julie. How you doing?
Hi, Justin. I'm good. How are you?
Hey, just want to say, you know, the whole Eli thing, you know, I followed his career. He deserves to be in. Not too many quarterbacks can say they've been to the Super Bowl twice, won twice, and been MVP twice. And yes, he's had his ups and downs, you know, in his career, but I just want to say he deserves to be in.
Well,
thank you for
that's two for Eli. Appreciate the call, Justin. Where are the people who are on the other side of that? Because I know you're out there, or else this wouldn't be the debate it is.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
Robin Lundberg joined by Julie Stewart-Binks this morning here on CBS Sports Radio. It was, you know, I got to get to bed a little earlier, Julie, because they took Zion out the game. And I knew he wasn't coming back in because he's on a minutes limit.
Yeah, you're like, well, he's already played 2.5 more minutes than I thought he would. So I know he's definitely out of the game.
You know, it's such a tough topic to cover because I do understand it. Like, I get it. And I have, you know, one of my pet points is people always want to compare it to a bygone era. And I think today's league, there's much more like explosive movement in a sense that more square footage of the court is being used, the 3-point you know, revolution or whatever you want to call it. And so many people have to close out and switch on screen. So in a given possession, you're moving so much more. And the science and the data has said as guys fatigue, they're more likely to get injured. At the same time, when you're watching a game and you're watching Zion and you're excited and he blocks a shot into the 10th row like it was shot out of a t-shirt gun or something, you go,
that was incredible.
You go, how could you take him out? It's like 3 more minutes of the game. Just let him play the final 3 minutes.
It's just so exciting watching him. And I know we've been just waiting months and months to see him play in the NBA. And he was such a dynamic player for Duke. And you know that he's on this minutes restriction. And Alvin Gentry's like, listen, I know everyone says, like, I'm the worst coach and blah, blah, blah. But, like, I'm just listening to the medical staff because the last thing you want is for him to re-injure himself or something else to happen. Like, you see this, you're so excited. You're like, oh, my gosh, this is what we have. This is the toy we got for Christmas we get to play with. But if you play with it too much, you might break it, and then you're going to have to put it back together, and you're going to have to find another one. So I get it. It is something that, like, we will just have to savor these minutes, these moments. 37 points in the last two games. Even, you know, you mentioned last night, even his defensive effort. You just get – we're all not doctors, of course, even though we like to say we're our, like, all his body.
I minored in kinesiology. I don't know.
Well, I majored in kinesiology, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. But we're all like, oh, his body's not going to be able to hold up long-term. Like, we don't know that for sure. It doesn't look like science-wise it probably is going to be a 20-year career, but you never know.
Yeah, he's a freak in other ways, right? Like, he's a monster. Here's what I'm curious, and we'll get to a little hockey talk later in the show, but very quickly, you know, you obviously are from Canada, have covered the sport. One of the things that hockey guy will hang his hat on is how tough hockey they can be decapitated and still play in the game. So as a hockey fan, how do hockey people view what's going on in the NBA right now?
I think that they're just like, I can't believe they're putting them in just these minutes. Like, look at guys out there. You know, you guys playing with a broken leg and he's got a punctured lung and all this stuff. It's like, that's not a good thing, by the way. Like, it's not good that guys are just like hiding these injuries deep into the playoffs. And hockey guys, they just love to be that tough. And that will never change because that's hockey guy. But basketball is a different sport. Like, everything is different. Your body's going through a whole lot more. And if you have the ability to have load management, and I'm sure at some point we'll get to the Kawhi, Paul George debate that's going on right now, like, these guys, their bodies are going through so much, too, night after night, night after night. But they aren't getting checked into the boards.
And yeah.
They aren't losing teeth.
Well, there's like a, and then there's like semantic differences that people, of course, you know, in sports talk, nuance is not really a thing, right? Like, so in basketball, you need some of that explosive movement or getting up and down the court and running and jumping, taking the toll on your joints versus toughing it out through a contact sport.
And you are
sport.
Gliding. Like, you still have that explosive power in hockey, but you are a different movement on the ice.
Yeah, you're not doing exactly the same thing. Now, meanwhile, another sport people have to tough through is football, of course, and Eli Manning famously did that in a game against the 49ers. It's just one of the playoff moments that stand out when you're considering his Hall of Fame resume, which has become such a topic of debate. So we're asking you why Eli Manning's Hall of Fame candidacy has become the newest track on the Sports Talk Radio Greatest Hits album at 855-212-4227. Let's go to Lauren in Illinois. Lauren, you're on with Robin Lundberg and Julie Stewart-Bings here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Lauren?
Hey, guys. Good morning. And Robin, I totally know how you feel about the whole having a girl's name thing.
So I know what, Lauren? I really apologize, but I was anticipating a female voice just now.
Hey, it's all right. I've been dealing with it for 33 years. But the whole Eli thing, I listened to Clay Travis earlier in the week, and he put it in a way that really changed my mind. I used to be in the anti-Hall of Fame for Eli camp. But if you're a franchise and the next guy you drafted, you told them beforehand, hey, this guy's going to be your starter for over 15 years. He's going to win you two Super Bowls, two Super Bowl MVPs, and finish top five and top 10 in passing yards and passing touchdowns respectively, you're going to put a statue to that guy outside your stadium. So I think he deserves in, absolutely.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's sort of the point Julie and I have been making, and I have yet, I guess, to have haven't had the counterpoint raised yet. Like, we haven't had the people that say, well, it just doesn't feel like a Hall of Famer to me.
Well, it's because people are saying, I believe he'll be in the Hall of Fame, but these are the reasons why someone might not want. And it's like, wait, are we all just that, trying to think who is that one guy that voted against Derek Jeter? Like, is this just one or two people in a way?
Is it a New York thing? Like, is it a, what causes
no,
it?
New
Why
York,
is it
okay,
Eli that they're picking?
New York is behind him, I believe, because he, you know.
No, I mean like a new, like an anti-New York thing from the rest of the country.
Yeah, I don't think it's that, no, but I do think it's the mindset of, okay, this is the guy that's going in. We do mention that his career wasn't necessarily star-studded every single year, longevity-wise. Yes, the two Super Bowls, but it didn't really stand out week to week. And I think that's why people are like, yeah, you know what? He was pedestrian most of the time.
You think it's the way his face looks?
Is it the way he dresses? It's just like him and Daniel Jones. It's just the guys walking down the street that you don't really notice.
Yeah, Eli does have that like a puppy dog face sometimes. I don't know if it's the Eli face that's got people up in arms about this. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Kenny in Dallas. Kenny, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Kenny?
Hey, nothing much. Hi, Robin. Hi, Julia. I hope y'all doing all right this morning.
Thank you.
So my problem is does Eli Manning, does the Hall of Fame stand with just his career alone? Like, you look at Dan Marino, he didn't have to win a title. That is a Hall of Fame QB because his career stands by itself. Eli, without those Super Bowls, he looks no different than a Joe Flacco.
But hold on a second, Kenny. How are you separating his career from the Super Bowl wins?
No. What I'm saying is if you take a person like Dan Marino, he has no Super Bowl wins, but he's a Hall of Famer. If you take his Super Bowl wins away and just say career, Phillip Rivers don't have any. Phillip Rivers have better numbers than Eli Manning. So you're telling me Phillip Rivers is going to be a Hall of Famer?
Probably, yeah.
That's a darn shame. You know what the Hall of Fame is in the NFL. Oh, my Jesus.
Well, you know, that's Phillip Rivers gets compared to him a lot. He has slightly better numbers. But that's where things like Super Bowls come into play, Julie, right? Because if you were telling me, finger gun to my head, my life was on the line, and I needed either Eli Manning or Phillip Rivers in a playoff game, I would take Eli Manning.
Definitely, because of the flashes of brilliance, and he's not a shrinking violet in those moments. He comes up in the clutch moments. That's what we value when we look at titles, when we look at players in the playoffs. Like, can they withstand the pressure? Also, something very different. He was playing in New York for 16 seasons in an environment that is just so cutthroat and awful in the media, and he thrived in it, and he got rid of any kind of mental issues dealing with it so well. But you can't separate your regular season from your postseason, your Super Bowl wins. It's all one thing.
And I guess as we keep talking about it, I'm trying to work my way to the crux of what I don't understand about it. And I suppose it's more just this one statement, which is, why for him is he the one guy that people are just, yeah, butting the championships? Because we spend, for every other standard, every other sports talk radio debate that's ever happened, it's like, what about the rings? I mean, people would use that against Dan Marino.
It's like we're doing the inverted argument at this point. And I think that what the Hall will probably look at is the fact that Eli Manning in himself in those moments was the MVP in those two big Super Bowl wins that he had. The rest of the time, it was his 117 is also part of a team effort, right? Like, you have to be able to look at the weapons that were around him or the lack thereof that would contribute to a largely regular career. Like, it wasn't necessarily all his fault. In the moments where the pressure was on, where the lights were the brightest, he shone.
Yeah, and people want to assign the credit for that to his teammates all the time, too. It's always like, well, he had a dominant defense and so on and so forth. Well, yeah, they had a really good defense. That's part of winning a championship. You have a good team. But this wasn't Trent Dilfer. This wasn't, you know, or Rex Grossman getting to a Super Bowl. He wasn't just along for the ride. I mean, I remember these stats because I've had this conversation so many times. The two playoff runs, he had 15 touchdowns to two interceptions. Yep. That's like hero stuff.
It is, it is. And when you do compare him almost to like the newer quarterbacks coming up, or when you mention, oh, if you knew you could draft a guy and that this would be his career, so many quarterbacks' careers are speckled with injury and ups and downs and changes of coaches and all this kind of stuff. Like, the fact that he was a starter for 15 and a half seasons and that he didn't lose that starting job for an injury is, that's like a superhero ability in itself.
Yeah, to stay upright in a sport where you're taking the shots that he's taking. Is there anybody who's just furious about the concept of Eli getting into the Hall of Fame? That's the person
we want to hear from you.
Yeah, I'm just like, Eli, how could he get in the Hall of Fame? I don't know why that was the accent I picked up. Sorry. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Now, Tom Brady, when you speak of consistency and longevity, mm-hmm. he tweeted out yesterday, congratulations on your retirement and a great career, Eli. Not going to lie, though, I wish you hadn't won any Super Bowls.
Yeah, and I don't think he's lying. I think he's really being very truthful right there. He would not want him to have won those Super Bowls, because that's almost a little bit of a black mark on Tom Brady's career, which, of course, would be very small black marks. He's had such an incredible career. But the fact, you know, we keep saying it over and over again, you beat Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, that Patriots dynasty, and in a season when they were undefeated, and you put them to bed twice, that's legendary material.
Nighty-night, Tom. Yeah, but you mentioned the blemish on Brady's career, whatever there may be, cheating is probably one of them.
Yeah, that also will be on there.
And there's a few. But when Eli retires, he says, only a Giant, right? And obviously it's been the case for Brady, only a Patriot. All of a sudden, there's these rumblings and talk about, you know, Tom Brady leaving and going somewhere else. And I just don't see the upside for him, right? Like, if he goes somewhere else, the only upside, there's, I guess, a sliver of upside. He goes somewhere else and he shows out, and then what could you ever possibly say about the guy if he winds up with the Chargers or whatever and has a great season at 50 years old? But the likelihood of that happening is small. And then the downside is so tremendous, because if he goes somewhere else and struggles, it's probably going to be because he's old, but it would fuel any of the doubts that people had about him, about being a system quarterback or his success being dependent on being married to Belichick.
Yeah, you see it as the upside sort of lacks in leaving, because there's so many more unknown variables for whatever team you go to, and the chemistry and your relationships and just everything different. I believe, though, that because the Patriots said we want to know what your decision is before free agency so we can kind of figure out our plan. It's like, no, no, no. I've been your guy. I've won, brought you six rings, for, of course, with other people involved. You tell me what you can bring to me. Like, I get a chance now to say, okay, so what are my weapons? Because you didn't give me anything this year, and that's why we failed.
But you know that Belichick believes he's the reason, just like Brady believes he's the reason, right? I mean, Belichick wanted to trade him when they had Jimmy Garoppolo.
But you have no one. You have Jarrett Stidham right now in line?
Yeah, there's not really an option.
They have to.
I think it's the best for both parties. I really don't see
Tom
a scenario.
Tom has the power right now. Tom has everything in his power.
Is there a scenario that's better for either party than just running it back?
Just run it back.
Just run it back one more time.
Don't change a good thing.
And see if they could. Because the dynasty being over, maybe it's like overstated slightly. What were they, 13-3 this
just
year?
Just add a couple more pieces. A couple, they were close.
Not Antonio Brown.
definitely not.
We might get to him a little bit later. Let's go to Dave in Canton, Ohio. That's an appropriate place. Dave, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Hey, one thing I want to say about Eli, the problem is I don't know if he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, okay?
Okay.
And then you got all these other great quarterbacks are going to start retiring one after another. And he being at the quarterback position, they may go ahead of him, so he might start sliding back. You understand what I'm saying?
Sure, but what's the distinction? You're either a Hall of Famer or you're not. Like, mm-hmm. Why does it matter if you're a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Well, when he starts sliding back and stuff, these other guys start going in, you know, like Breeze and Brady and, you know what I'm saying? These other guys, and there's so many, there's more of a passing era now, too, and more people might start coming up that are retiring. So he might get pushed down the list and may fade down. You understand what I'm saying?
So what you're saying is basically, like, instead of looking at Eli in a vacuum of, like, Hall of Famer or not Hall of Famer, it's like Eli compared to Breeze, Rodgers, Brady. Then that's a completely different argument in a way.
And we're having this, like, you know, you must pay a penance because you so therefore you will wait until your induction. But I think what he's saying is instead of him waiting, he deserves to be in, but because people don't think he should be in right away, he'll wait and then maybe he loses his chance. Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I could see people saying, well, you know what? Oh, we're going to let in all these different guys. Well, Eli's probably on the lower end of the spectrum of that if we put all – I mean, we haven't decided to battle everyone for their Hall of Fame legitimacy. But I believe what you said, Robin, it's like you're either in or you're out. And you know when you look at someone's career, and you can keep going over it every year, be like, no, you're either in or you're in the way.
Yeah. I hope he's first ballot now just to see the reaction to that. Why not? Put him in. First ballot, second ballot. Who cares?
Why is that?
That's a baseball thing, isn't it? Is that a football thing anyway? I thought that was only like serious, self-righteous baseball guy. 855-212-4227. Someone who will definitely be in the Hall of Fame, LeBron James. We'll get to what he might do today coming up. Robin Lundberg, Julie Stewart-Binks here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.